John chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. John chapter 20, verses 19 through 31, they read like this. In the evening of the first day of the week, the disciples were gathered together with the doors locked because of their fear of the Jews. Then Jesus came, stood among them, and said to them, "Peace to you." Having said this, he showed them his hands and his side, so the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." After saying this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But one of the 12, Thomas, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples kept telling him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "If I don't see the mark on the nails in his hand, put my finger into the mark of the nails, and put my hands into his side, I will never believe." After 8 days, his disciples were indoors again, and Thomas this time was with them. Even though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them. He said, "Peace to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and observe my hands. Reach out your hands and put them into my side. Don't be an unbeliever, but a believer." Thomas responded to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Those who believe without seeing me are blessed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of the disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and by believing you may have life in His name. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your many blessings. I pray, Father, you'd be with us as we look at your word this morning. Father, I pray, Lord, you'd hide me behind the cross. Father, may it be you and you alone, the one that's seen. Father, as we talk about your word this morning, may we talk about it with integrity. Father, again, help us, Lord, to worship you in spirit and truth. Father, take this message and prick our hearts and help us, Lord, to be obedient to follow after you. In your Son, Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. So the question this morning is going to be belief. Do you believe? So to know if we believe, first of all, we have to understand what is belief. Belief is really all it is this. Faith, something will happen. Faith, something is real. We have to believe first. And this takes a little bit of faith. Jesus shared with us, if we have the faith of the mustard seed, we can move mountains. He didn't say we have to come to Him in great faith. He said just come to Him in a little faith. He said just believe and allow Him to live and to work inside your heart and life so your faith, your belief, will be expanded and grow. We have to be willing to take the first step. So how do we accomplish this? How do we attain this? Let me just share a little bit about you, or about what took place this week. Wednesday, as we concluded our prayer service this Wednesday night, I started having a little bit of that dread. I was excited, yes. But I believe by the time Saturday morning came along, I was going to be tired. I also believed I would survive. Because we had RA boys camp. And I was there with them for a couple of days. Not much sleep happened. That's true. I believed it and it happened. I was tired and that took place. But you know what? I did believe I'd survive and I did. I'm here. But here's what I want you to know. Why did I have this belief? Because I had experienced it before. It wasn't my first time. Yes, I had to take that first step. But as we take those first steps, guess what? The next one is the second step.
And when we start believing and trusting, that faith starts growing, and we get to where we can understand maybe what's happening, not only in our hearts and lives, but what's happening and taking place around us in many other hearts and lives. But you always have to take the first step. Experience is the best teacher. When I graduated from technical school in 1993, learning how to be a machinist, they told me, "You are now a machinist." Now that I have done that for 23 plus years, before I became a full-time pastor and had a little bit of experience, I'm going to tell you, they were plumb wrong. I was not a machinist as of yet. But after 20-something years of experience, making mistakes, and a bunch of them, it taught me, and I was able to believe that I could accomplish something that I once maybe could not. The same thing is true about our walk with Jesus Christ. You have to take that first minute step of faith. God doesn't say you have to come to me in full, huge faith. He says, come to me in a little faith and a little belief. And trust me. Let me live within you and grow your faith and help you to experience life. And here's what he says, experience me so you can believe more. Because here's the truth, and you'll hear this again probably at the end. If we do not believe, if we do not have faith, we cannot be with him. We have to take the first step before we can take the last step to be in with him. If you do not take the first step, you're taking a step in the opposite direction, away from him. We have to believe. Believe is not always easy in life. So have you ever found something difficult to believe? Yes. We all have found those things that are difficult to believe. Do you know what the largest obstacle for belief is? Here's the answer. Lies. Lies are the largest obstacle for belief. When we lie to a friend, we are deceiving them. If we deceive a friend, guess what? They're not going to believe us the next time. If we tell something that is not true, they have no reason to believe us. They have no reason to understand or be equipped to say, you know what, they're telling the truth when we're telling them a lie, when we mislead them and others. Nobody will listen to us. But here's the one true thing about the gospel, the one good thing about Jesus Christ. He's never lied to us. He keeps his promises. He does not fail us. He does not mislead us. He's always there with us and for us. He has never, nor will he ever, let you down. If you feel like it is, it's not because he's left or gone anywhere. It's because you have. And because the world has deceived you to believe something else or to doubt what the truth really is. So friends, we shouldn't deceive one another. But doubt, this is not a new tool that Satan uses. It began in the very beginning by placing a seed of doubt in the minds of Adam and Eve. Then they sinned. I'm going to read some scripture to you here in just a moment about a man named Paul who shares with us this battle that goes on within him and within every believer who's ever walked this face of the earth. Because doubt is something that Christians face. Romans chapter 7, verses 14 through 25, Paul said this to the church of Rome. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am made out of flesh, sold into sin's power. For I do not understand what I am doing, because I do not practice what I want to do, but I do what I hate. And if I do not do what I want to do, I agree with the law that it is good. So now I am no longer the one doing it, but the sin that is living within me. For I know that nothing good lives in me that is in my flesh.
For the desire so to do the good which is within me, but there is no ability to do it. For I do not do the good that I want to do, but I practice the evil that I do not want to do. Now if I do what I do not want to do, I am no longer the one doing it, but it's the sin that lives within me. So I discover this principle. Here's key, what we need to listen to. When I want to do what is good, evil is with me. For in the inner self I joyfully agree with God's law, but I see a different law in the parts of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and taking me prisoner of the law of sin in the parts of my body. What is he saying there? In other words, when I want to do good and want to help others and want to be the true Christian that God's called me to do, I have a battle in doing it because I have doubt that I can accomplish it. I have a doubt that it'll take place. Jesus said, trust me. Have faith. And he goes on to say, what a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this dying body? I thank God through Jesus Christ I am saved. So then, with my mind, I myself am a slave to the law of God, but with my flesh to the law of sin. This is why forgiveness is required for relationship with Jesus Christ. And he gave us the example for one another too, amongst believers, amongst Christians, amongst people in his creation. Forgiveness is required when a brother lies to us or a sister lies to us. We shouldn't be doing it to begin with, but forgiveness is required. All this revolves around starting with a little seed of doubt, a little unbelief that Satan places in our hearts and lives and we take hold of. And we allow ourselves to be overcome by it. This is exactly what took place in the life of Thomas. So as we see here, this is a battle that Christians face. All of us struggle with doubt and belief, but we still have to take that first step. And after we take that first step, our journey's not over. It's just begun. That journey towards a heavenly home, heaven's jubilee that we sang about earlier, we still have to put one foot in front of the other. Believing more and more. Allowing ourselves to experience life, to experience grace, to experience His presence. That we're going to miss out if we don't take the first step. That we're going to miss out if we don't take the second step. In our life, we have to continuously move forward. This is what we're going to be looking at on night 3 of Vacation Bible School. How do we believe? Big picture, Jesus helps me believe. So all of this revolves around our VBS motto, which is, do you remember what the VBS motto is? That's very good. Gear up, get ready, game on. Let's see if we can say that together. That was very good, but it didn't get me too excited about coming. Now, if we want to invite the community, if we want to invite the people within this room, there needs to be a little bit of excitement. Christians, followers of Jesus Christ, those who have been saved, we have reason to be excited about. So let's do it a little more excitement with it. Let's go again. Gear up. Get ready. Game on. All right, amen. Amen. Vacation Bible School's coming. Life is already here. We need to gear up. We need to get ready. Because game on. Satan wants us to fail, wants us to stumble. He wants us to doubt and cause us to go in the opposite direction. It's exactly what Satan does to us. It's exactly how Satan distracts us. He wants us to believe those lies that are planted, and he wants us to actually tell them so we can deceive others and cause them to stumble and fall. Cause them not to believe. So in all of our words, we need to make sure that every word that proceeds out of our mouth is truth. Because it takes years to build up trust. It takes one word to destroy it. Years to build up trust. One word to destroy it. That's why, like the Bereans in Acts chapter 17, we need to search the Scriptures. See what the truth is. And live our lives according to how God's Word shares. So when you're filling the blanks, how can I help others believe in Jesus? Number one, Jesus appears to his disciples. Jesus appears to his disciples. Jesus may or may not appear again before his second coming to you. But I want to tell you something. Every day he appears to others through your life, Christian. The life you live today and tomorrow and every hour and every moment in between is Jesus living in and through you. So you appear to a lot of people every day of your life. How are you living it? Jesus appears to his disciples. Imagine the scene that they are feeling. Jesus was abandoned by his disciples. Every one of them. Peter denied him 3 times. Jesus was beat so badly that he was barely recognizable, fulfilling Scripture in Isaiah. Jesus was crucified on the cross. Jesus died. Jesus was buried. All hope was seemingly lost. And now the disciples are there stowed away within that room and hiding because of fear. Has anybody in here ever been afraid of something or anything? Well, praise the Lord, he came in and said, "Peace to you. I'm here. I'm no longer in that grave. I'm alive. I'm living. Peace to you." He was sharing with them, fulfilling Scripture in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, that he was the Prince of Peace. Jesus Christ was the Prince of Peace. He appeared to them to minister to them. He appeared to them to encourage them. He appeared to them to let them know that he was in control. And he brought them peace with God through what he accomplished upon the cross and in the gospel of his death, burial, and resurrection. Because, see, they were just in fear. They didn't know what to do. They all were struggling. The story seems to be, you know, it focuses on, oh, look at the doubt that Thomas had. But don't overlook, all the disciples were there in fear. All the disciples had something that they were struggling with. We may point fingers and say, look at what struggle they're having in their life. I don't have that. But all along, we're right here in our own little room, in our own life, with some type of struggle we all have. Each one of us has struggles. No one is immune. But Jesus Christ brings each and every one of us peace. Peace in the valley. Peace in the moment. But we have to trust in Him. We have to rely upon Him. Their faith, and ours too today, needs a little bit of recharging. Needs to be strengthened. And that's what Jesus did when he appeared to them. We may be facing life today with fear or doubt controlling us and affecting our acts of obedience to God. Like the disciples, we feel the pressure of the world around us. But also like the disciples, we feel the excitement of joy because they had just seen Jesus and what he accomplished upon the cross. We should also, like the disciples, when we're disobedient to Him, feel ashamed because we're not where He wants for us to be. Why were they, or why do we cower in fear instead of just sharing the good news that we've been commanded to do, as we see here in these Scriptures? I'm sending you to go into a world to tell them there's good news, there's hope, and I bring peace. We need to be willing to share that with them and with the world. Jesus will appear to you if you'll let Him. It may not be physical, but you can see it in the lives of other people around you. You can get plugged into each other as the church and allow Christ to live in and through you as others allow Christ to live in and through them. And Jesus will appear to us. But we have to let Him. We have to stop avoiding Him. Number two, and you're filling the blank, how can I help others believe in Jesus? Number two, Thomas struggles with doubt. Thomas struggles with doubt. What is wrong with the first part of this story? It talks about the disciples. They're in the room. They're in fear. But Thomas is not there. Thomas, in his doubting, is not present. Let me share something with you. There's nothing wrong with doubt when you search the truth to find it out. Absolutely nothing. We all face doubt and struggles, but we need to be searching for the truth. I'm a believer that this is what Thomas was doing. Yes, he was doubting. He had the Messiah there with him. He had followed after him. But the doubt had overcome him because of what he'd just seen happen. You see, in Realville, he had just died in front of him. And he didn't know how to overcome it. So he had this doubt. But the truth of the matter is, when the second time when he saw Jesus, Jesus was alive. So there in Realville, where he thought he was dead because he was dead, Jesus was alive. Amen. And that same thing happens in our hearts and our lives. We need to come to an understanding. When we doubt, search out the truth. Find out what it is God wants to teach us, wants to equip us with. Follow after it. Like I shared with you earlier, Acts chapter 17, be like the Bereans. Search the Scriptures. John chapter 8, verse 32 and verse 36 says, the truth shall set us free. It goes on to say in verse 36, and if the truth sets us free, we shall be free indeed. Search the truth. Don't get overly concerned in your doubts, but search the truth. Don't just live life in doubt, because if you live in doubt, you may live without. Search the truth. Seek Christ in your life. Seek placing Him first. Take that first step and allow Him to you to experience Him in your life to where your belief may be established, your faith may be established. Because like Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 says, without faith it is impossible to please God. That's why He wants for us to just have faith. Take that step of belief. Trust in Him and rely upon Him. Allow Him to be Lord of your hearts and your lives. There's times in each and every life of each and every believer that we struggle with doubt. This causes us to be out of place, just like Thomas. So let me ask you the question. Are you where God wants you to be? Are you doing what God wants for you to do? Are you missing? Do you need to show up? The same God that we're talking about here in John chapter 20. It's the same God that rules here today. The same Jesus that brought peace here in chapter 20. It's the same God that will bring you peace here today. The same truth that Thomas had to search out the truth. The same truth that we have to search out the truth to find exactly where it is that God wants for us to be. Jesus is aware of your every struggle, but He will not force Himself to reconcile you, to bring you where you need to be. He wants you to take a step of faith and rely upon Him. He wants you to just trust Him. He wants your belief to move from point A to point B to Z and beyond. He wants you to grow in your faith, in your walk, in your trust, in your life, in obedience to Him. He wants that peace that He brings at that very first moment to grow to where you recognize more and more and more and more peace as your life goes along, because you experience life. I don't know if you've recognized it or not, but life is difficult on many different occasions. You move from one struggle, it seems, to another in life. And if you don't have Jesus in your life, you're not going to have peace. So if you need to want to find that peace, you need to invite Jesus Christ into your heart and life and not miss what He's called and given for you to do. You need to find that exactly where He wants you to be. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6 shares this: I will never leave you nor forsake you. God prefaced that by saying this in that chapter: be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Then when Moses passed away and you get to Joshua chapter 1, what did He tell Joshua? First thing: be strong and courageous. Study God's Word. Be in God's Word. Allow God's Word to be a part of your life. If you're not allowing God's Word to be a part of your life, you're not allowing Jesus to be a part of your life. And you're missing the peace that He brings.
Because John chapter 1, the Gospel of John, shares that Jesus is the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was flesh. And the Word dwelt among us, about verse 14. His name is Jesus. Jesus was the Word, is the Word. If you're not in the Word, you're missing the peace of Jesus. You're missing the peace that He brings to us. Allow yourself to believe. Allow your faith to start. He is there with you during your struggles. Turn to Him. Turn to Him. Don't allow yourself to be deceived by something or someone else. Turn to Him. Number three, within your fill in the blanks, how can it help others believe in Jesus? Jesus strengthens Thomas's faith. Jesus strengthens Thomas's faith. 8 days go by. Thomas is still struggling with doubt. But here's something oftentimes we overlook. How does Thomas's faith grow? How does Thomas's belief move from doubt to belief? Here's what I believe, and I think Scripture supports that. Yes, it was Jesus when he saw him, but you notice in the Scriptures, there about the middle, the disciples are telling Thomas, "I saw Jesus." Nowhere in Scripture do we see the disciples say, "Oh, Thomas, it's all right. You can doubt all you want. It'll be okay. Everything's going to be all right in the end." No, they were encouraging Thomas, "I saw Jesus. He met us in the room. We were all there. He said, 'Peace be unto you.'" Every time they saw Thomas, Thomas said, "I'll never believe if I can't put my fingers in a nail-scarred hand. If I can't thrust my hand into his side." The disciples were there. You know what they're saying? "I saw Jesus. I saw the scars. I saw him." Christian, let me tell you something. Church, let me tell you something. That's exactly what the world needs for us to do. Those who are in doubt, they need a church to stand up. They need a church to be real. They need a church saying, "I saw Jesus. I saw him in my life. He's real to me." He'll never be real to a non-believer because they haven't experienced it. They haven't experienced it. So Thomas was struggling with doubt. Thomas was struggling with unbelief, but Jesus strengthened him. You notice what the first thing he said to Thomas when he came into the room there with him? "Peace to you. Peace to you." Three times in these Scriptures says, "Peace to you." He says peace in the middle of their fear. He says peace in the middle of Thomas's doubt. You know what we can take from that, church? In the middle of our fear, God brings peace. In the middle of our doubt, God brings peace. In the middle of our troubles, God brings peace. In the middle of failure, God brings peace. In the middle of loss, God brings peace. In the middle of everything, God brings peace. But you have to turn to Him. You have to turn to Him. We cannot find peace if we do not turn to Jesus. That's because our faith is not there. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. We have to turn to Him in the middle of everything that life brings. And Satan wants us to fail, stumble, and fall. And if we're not turning to Jesus, we're just living life for nothing. We're useless. This is what 2 Peter chapter 1 shares with us, that God gives us the tools for life. If you'll continue to read in that chapter, if we don't follow after the tools of life, perseverance, love, hope, kindness, we're useless. We're useless. I don't know about you. I don't want to be useless. I want to be obedient to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want to be following after Him. I want to be obedient to Him. Now imagine this. Thomas is in the room. He's there because his friends, his church, has told him they've seen Jesus. He's still got this doubt. And Scripture says, suddenly, Jesus is there with him. He says, "Peace be unto you."
Can you imagine the excitement when you first taste, you first move from doubt to, wow, there it is. Tell you something. It should be exciting. And as we grow in our life, as Thomas, I'm sure, as he grew in his life, that doubt went from more and more and more and more peace with God. Because he took that first step. Because Jesus strengthened him. But the thing of the matter is that we're talking, that we see here, belief, Jesus goes on to say, it's great that you've believed and you've seen me. But what about those who don't see me in the flesh? When they believe, man, they're truly blessed. He's talking about us. He's talking about us. But this whole story, it's right to us. It's directed to us. When we're in the middle of fear, like I shared a moment ago, he brings peace. When we're in the middle of doubt, he brings peace. We may not see him exactly, but we see him in and through the lives of each and every person in this room who surrendered to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. People around us see him in our lives, in our words, in our actions. Don't miss peace with God because you have doubt in your life. Number four in the fill in the blanks. How can I help others believe in Jesus? Jesus commends those who believe without seeing. This is where faith is tested. Believing without seeing. The faith of Thomas was strengthened by the fellow disciples, as I shared with you a moment ago. The faith of Thomas was strengthened by his seeing Jesus. We are the ones he's speaking of, like I shared with you just a moment ago. When we trust Jesus as our Savior, the Holy Spirit helps us. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. The Holy Spirit convicts us of righteousness. John chapter 16. When the Holy Spirit starts to work within your life and say, you know what, I'm without Jesus and I've done a lot wrong. Let me tell you something. I, Greg Nall, may be your pastor, but I'm a sinner saved by grace. I'm forgiven. I'm redeemed because of the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed upon the cross. It's death, burial, and resurrection. And he did that not just for Greg, but he did for every mankind who takes breath. He loves you. And he calls for you to come to him. He calls for you to rely upon him. He calls for you to have faith. And he commends you for believing without seeing. But we need a church. He needs to see. People need to see Jesus in us. They need to see a difference. The world is full of hypocrites and hypocrisy. Church, we're called to be different from the world. To be more like Christ. Mark chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. Here's a way that we can pray for more believing, more faith. This man comes to Jesus, his son sick and dying. Here's what's said. Jesus said to him, if you can, everything is possible to the one who believes. Immediately, father cried out because of the boy. And he said this, I do believe. But Jesus, help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. The Bible's right here in front of us. Mark 9, 23 through 24. Mark that down in your notes. There's not a person alive that doesn't have a little bit of doubt and unbelief. But what do? We cry out to Jesus. Jesus, help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. So how do we experience this belief without seeing? First, the belief. It takes a little bit of faith, like I shared with you at the beginning. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 8 says this, keep asking, and it shall be given to you. Keep searching, and you will find. Keep knocking, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. For the one who searches, finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Keep searching. Keep looking. Keep searching for the truth. Holy Spirit will prick your heart, help you to believe. If you're here this morning, take a step of faith. If you don't know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, trust in Him. Trust in Him. You may not have all the answers right here and right now. Let God's Word speak to you. Let God's Word teach you. The best way for us to recognize and apply belief without seeing is to listen to and hear the words of this song that was written by Alfred H. Ackley. First, I'm going to read the first, second, third verse, then the chorus. You'll recognize it as I start. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see the hand of mercy, I hear the voice of cheer, and just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. Verse 1. Verse 2. In all the world around me, I see His loving care. And though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that He is leading through all the stormy blast. The day of His appearing will come at last. Verse 3. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian. Lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ our King. The hope of all who seek Him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good, and kind. Now listen to this chorus, and don't miss what it says. Listen to what it says. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives? He lives within my heart. Amen. And I know He lives. But you can't have that if you don't take that first step of faith. You'll never know what it's like to realize and understand that He lives until you say, "Yes, Jesus, I surrender to You." Your faith will not grow. Your faith does not exist until you take that first step and allow Jesus Christ to be Lord of your heart and life. That's what believing without seeing is life. He lives within my heart. So if you're here this morning and you've never surrendered to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I urge you, I plead with you to come and give your heart and your life to Him, to surrender to Him as your Lord and Savior by taking a small step of faith, by believing, and allow Him to grow that faith within you each and every day. It might take 5 years, it might take 50 years for you to move from point A to point B, but I'll promise you He will never leave you, He will never forsake you, but He's got a plan for your life. Your first step, it's just to believe in Him. First step. Take the first step. Christian, you may be here today. You may have been following for a long time, but maybe you've allowed some of those lies, some of that deception that Satan places in front of us. And maybe you've allowed yourself to be used by lies and deception to deceive others by some way. This altar's open, and I ask and I plead with you as well. Come to this altar and ask forgiveness for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Repent of your sins, and He is faithful and just to restore you to the righteousness. Big picture. You matter to God. And He wants for you just to believe. He wants for you to just have faith in Him. So the altar's open. It's your move. Won't you come as we stand, as we sing hymn number.